Shalom Aleichem, Mishnah Yemin continues for Shabbat and more. We are finishing up the third chapter of Shkalim at Mishnah Dalit. Tarim et Harishona. They took the first scoop full of coins from the treasury. Remember, they used those big baskets, three big baskets to scoop out coins, and they did it three times a year. So they did it the first time. Mechape be biktavlot. Then they would cover it with a big leather spread, like a big hide, on top of the coins that were still there in the office, the remaining coins. The reason for this was when new coins arrived and were deposited into the treasury, then when they went back next time and scooped more coins out for Karbanot's needs for offerings, then they would come out of the new coins that were on top of this this leather divider. Shnia mechapi biktavdot. Same thing after they took the second scoop, they would cover what's remaining. Shlishi lohaya mechapi. The third time, they would not cover it up, shema yishkach v'yishrim min ha'dvar ha'tarim, because they might forget and scoop coins out of something that had already had coins scooped from it. Now, the Mishnah explains basically why we do this three times a year and three different periods. As we saw, it was about 2 weeks before Yom Tov, before the Chagim. So Mishnah says, tarim et rishona l'shem eretz Yisrael. So the first scoop, the first withdrawal, really, it was three baskets. But it was the first withdrawal from the treasury was on behalf of all the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. So they had their coins, in theory, even if they were living, you know, not in Yerushalayim proper, they're living farther away, but they had time for the coins to get there by the period when they were doing the first withdrawal. Shnia l'shem krachim ha-mukoving law. The second is for the Jews living in the cities that are nearby, like Ammon and Moab, the Mefarshim say, so they could get there a little bit later. The third scoop is for Jews in, the third withdrawal really is from Jews living in Bavel and in Persia and in all of the distant places like, you know, Baltimore, New York City, wherever you are. Now, in reality, whenever they withdraw money from the treasury, it's on behalf of everyone. As we've seen, the coins even in transit belong to the treasury, so the shekels are on behalf of the people sending those coins as well. But it makes people feel good when you are using their coins, or in theory it could be their coins because their coins have reached the treasury. It makes them feel good when you're using that for the temple. It's one of the reasons we have plaques and, you know, we read out sponsorships, and when people sponsor something at shul, we want to recognize what they're doing. On to chapter 4. Hatruma mahayu ozinba. This withdrawal, what do you do with these half shekel funds that have been deposited into the treasury and are now withdrawn? Lokin ba tmidim, you bring from it the constant offerings, the daily offerings, two animals a day, musafin, and the musaf offerings, and Shabbos and Yom Tov, niskehem, and the libations. Omer, the carbon omer that we're now counting our omer, ushte halechem, and the two breads brought on Shavuot, v'lechem apanim, and the breads that were baked every week, the showbreads. The Mishnah continues, shomrei svichim, the men who would guard the aftergrowth, b'shvit, on the seventh year. So what's going on is, on the sabbatical year, the Shemitah year, shvit, so on that year, everything's hefker, and technically people could go in and take the aftergrowths in whatever field they want. The problem is, we need some barley and wheat available, barley for the Omer and wheat for the Shtei Alechem on Shavuot, so we need to have somebody there to guard it, not to really prevent people from taking it, because technically it's Hefker, and they could if they really wanted to, but to remind them, hey, the temple needs this stuff for the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, would you please go take some other Hefker stuff? So these watchmen, notlin tscharen mitrumat alishka, they would take their wages from the temple treasury as well. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afarot Se Mitnadev Shomer Chinam. He says if somebody wanted, they could volunteer for a watch duty. They could take the watch for free. Amru Lo, they said back to him, the other rabbis objected. Afata Omer, don't you also say, She'enam Ba'an Elam Mishal Tzibur? Don't you say these can't be a korban yachid? They have to be a public offering. So what they're getting at is if one individual volunteered to watch the aftergrowths on the seventh year to prevent people from taking that barley or that wheat, then that's kind of, in a sense, his personal individual offering, not a public communal offering. So that's not, that, you know, you should have it be funded by the public funds, by the temple treasury, for these guards to make sure the temple has a barley and wheat available. It's interesting, the Mishnah Paskins, like the sages, that they should be paid from public funds, but not for the reason. The actual reason is because if Balei Zroa, if strongmen, tough guys come, and they say, hey, I really don't care about the temple and the Shvid. I'm going to take this anyway. If it's a paid watchman, he's going to try harder to make sure that there's wheat and barley available. If someone's volunteering, they might not take it so seriously. We mentioned in the last parak, the Rambam says if people are sending their shekels on a trip to the temple and it's a bit far away or is a bit of danger, they should pay someone to do it. You know, get an armored truck. Don't just send someone for free, because someone who's paid has a higher burden of care. Shabbat shalom and be well.